We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. That's just one passage we're looking at this morning, our opening passage. Paul says this. Paul says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." A new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. So I know today is Super Bowl Sunday. I know some of you are chomping at the bit to get home and watch the excitement. I had no idea it was Super Bowl Sunday until I came to church today. That's how excited I am about football. I'll go to an occasional game to watch someone, you know, I care about play, but that's about it. So I'm sorry if you're chomping at the bit, but what we're talking about today is far more exciting than the Super Bowl. We're talking about new life in Christ. That way outweighs any excitement that we could ever experience on the field. And you know what? Sometimes I watch fans at Super Bowl, and I know people have said this many times, but I watch fans at Super Bowl just going crazy. And we about Christ are so reserved, you know. And today I feel like, you know, this should have been one of the days where I had a lapel mic, because I am very animated about what we're talking about today. And now I have to stay right here. And that's going to be difficult for me. But we have something to get excited about in our Lord, in new life. And that's what we're talking about today. So a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Pastor John and I met to discuss today's sermon, the topic for today's sermon, because I wanted it to flow with Pastor John's series. And last week he spoke about salvation. And in the weeks to come, he's going to be continuing on in that series. And so we spoke about it, and we prayerfully decided that today I would be speaking about new life. New life in Christ. I have to confess that I'm kind of blown away with the magnitude of this topic. See, God usually gives me like bits of truth, bites of truth to digest. Usable tidbits that we can take away and use. But new life, that's not a tidbit. That's like a banquet. And so preparing this message, I was intimidated by that thought. By the thought, new life. How do I explain new life in 20 minutes? The mystery of Christ in us. The mystery of being in Christ. It's kind of like describing a rainbow. Only those who have seen a rainbow will understand what you're explaining. And even today, having been a Christian for more than half my life, I find myself struggling to describe the mystery of new life in Christ. In our earthly understanding, we're like Nicodemus, who did not understand what Jesus meant when our Lord said in John 3:3, Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, a religious teacher, and he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus' response is just like ours would be. "How can a man be born again?" Nicodemus asked. "Can he enter his mother's womb a second time to be born?" We are like Nicodemus. Born again? What does that mean? So listen to the words of Jesus again. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That word to see, I might need some help from Walt or John Sharp, is horeo. How do you say that, John? H-O-R-A-O. That's Greek. There you go. All right. The word to see is horo, meaning to see or to perceive or to experience. So Jesus is saying that unless we are born again, we cannot perceive. We cannot experience the kingdom of God. And yes, you know, he is talking about heaven. But he's also talking about what we heard them saying. He's also talking about now. What was that chant again, Vicky?
Who is the king?
Jesus.
Where does he live?
Here.
When is the kingdom?
Now.
All right. He is talking about now. The kingdom of God is now. The new life is now. And when we are born again, our eyes and our hearts and our minds can perceive and experience and see the kingdom of God. We see new life. When we see this verse and hear these words, immediately our minds go back to our own salvation stories. And our salvation stories matter. But this new life, this kingdom life, is so much more than just the story of our birth into it. On the New York City mission trip, I had the privilege of speaking with a group of men at a drug rehab house called Anchor House. And I shared with them my story. I shared how the story of my life before Christ, my family's life, is one of heartache, of failure, pain, abuse, separation, and loss. But I also shared with them that that is not my story now. Praise God, that is not my family's story now. Without Jesus, our story would have been one of tragedy, but God has rewritten it. He has given us a new story, a new life in Christ. Myself, my brother, my father, my mother, we are no longer defined by what we have done or what was done to us. That was the old life. We have been given a new life. Our stories now, our lives now are found in Jesus Christ. He is our story. The world wants to define you by your past, by your heritage, by your afflictions, by their measure of your worth, by their measure of your success or failure. God desires that you be defined only by Jesus. The world will look at my family and see victims and abusers, ex-cons and failures. God sees his children. God sees new life, new identity. God sees Jesus. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So what does this newness mean? Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, or 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on things that are on earth. For you have died. Your old life has died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Christ, who is your life. Pay attention to that. We will be coming back to that. Put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed. Listen to that. You have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. What a passage. Colossians 3. Amazing. Verse 1 through 4 teaches us that in this new life, our minds and our hearts are His. The old concerns, the old life, the old heart, the old mind are dead and gone. We have new life now, new hearts, new minds, and Jesus owns them. He fills them. They are to be set on Him. Paul goes on to remind us of what the old life looked like and calls us to live new lives that we have in Christ. In this new life, the Holy Spirit begins to bring forth fruit. We do not do so. He does it in us. In this new life, we put off the old and live in the new. In this new life, His life reigns in us. We are not new on our own. We are made new by God. Paul says, we have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. We are new and we are being renewed. Look at verse 11. There is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. In this new life, Christ has become our identity. Listen to this. When I was going to share this sermon, when I had this thought on my mind, I shared this with the youth this morning. I was rejoicing, I was intimidated, I was scared, and I was concerned. Because I see well-meaning Christians throughout the church defining themselves with so many definitions and defining others with so many definitions that should not belong to us. I see us attaching ourselves to things we should not be attached to. I see us identifying with things we should not be identified with. We have one identity, and that's Christ. Listen to them. Listen to this. In Him, there is no class of people, clean or unclean, because of our past or because of our people. We are a new people. We are a kingdom of priests. There is no barbarian or Scythian. There is no slave or free. There is no Jew or Gentile. There is no more seeing people as the world sees them. No more seeing outward appearances. No more thinking one caste or class or race or gender is higher or lower. More or less noble. More or less worthy. We get so caught up with labels. Labels we place on ourselves, labels we place on others, labels others put on us. And even within the church, a brother or sister challenges our thinking on an earthly matter and wham! We stamp them with a label. Sometimes we stamp them with that label regardless of the fellowship that we have enjoyed with them in the past. Regardless of how well we know them, we stamp them with a label. God does not see us on human terms. God doesn't see labels. And it is His mind and His opinion alone that matters. And if we are new, then our mind is being renewed and brought into alignment with His mind. Let me read that again. If we are new, then our mind is being renewed and brought into alignment with His mind. Let us be transformed by the renewing of our mind, Romans 12. If we are new, our sight is being renewed, and we begin to see as He sees. If we are born again, we see the kingdom, and in the kingdom, Christ is all, and Christ is in all. In His newness, we see differently. In His newness, we understand differently. We relate differently. In His newness, we feel differently. In His newness, we think differently. In His newness, He is all and in all. We see Him in the midst of our circumstance, regardless of how joyful or how dark. In His newness, we see Him in every face, regardless of how alike or how alien. In His newness, we have new dreams, new desires, new convictions, new concerns. In His newness, Christ is all and in all. Brothers and sisters, if we are in Christ and we are not being renewed, if it's the same old to us, we must put to death the old self and let the new us live. We must be renewed day by day. When we have been made new and are being renewed, it increasingly becomes less about me and more about Him. Less of my opinion, my convictions, my ideas, and more His. Less of my life and more His life in me. And I was thinking about this new life yesterday. A thought came to me. And if you'd be patient with me for stringing a couple more texts together, let's look at John 10 and John 14. In both verses, Jesus mentions life. In John 10, we see Jesus speaking about being the good shepherd. And one of the things He says in this amazing passage is, on verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life. And have it abundantly." Now, jumping forward to John 14, we see Jesus speaking with His disciples, speaking of going to His Father. Jesus says, "And you know the way to where I am going." And Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Now listen to how Jesus responds. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth." Now listen. "And the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The life Jesus came to give us is Himself. He is the new life. If we think about that, brothers and sisters, that clarifies a few things about the new life. For a long time, brothers and sisters, I have been concerned with believing the right things, doing the right things, having the right opinions. I have been concerned with the church, that she might be the salt and light as she is called to be, that she might believe and do as she ought. Indeed, those things are important, but over the last year, I have begun to feel slightly different. I have begun to realize that my opinions matter far less than what I had always thought. And you know what? I think the same for the church. It's not that our opinions on issues and people are wrong. It's not that my opinion on any matter is right or wrong. It's that I allow myself to have an opinion in the first place. As I have read and struggled and thought deeply about so many matters before us over the last year, how often have I prayed for His thoughts on the matter? How often have I loved and prayed for my enemies? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How often have I done that? How often have I placed the importance of people above my opinion? How often have I loved sacrificially without considering myself or how that love would be received? That's a hard one, isn't it? How often have I loved sacrificially without considering myself or how my love would be received? How often have I allowed his heart to overwhelm mine and cause my pulse to beat with his? How often have I stubbornly protected myself, my opinion, my viewpoint, when if my opinion and my viewpoint and myself were sacrificed to Christ, there would have been nothing to protect. It's hard to offend a dead man. That is what this new life is about. Jesus and nothing else. He is the way and the truth and the life. Listen, Christians, if you hear no other point, I believe that this is the one that our Father has for us today. If this life we are living in any area, thought, opinion, conviction, action, if this new life we are living in any area doesn't look like Jesus, then in that area it is not new life. It is the old one. Jesus is the new life. And hear me, Jesus will always look like Jesus. There's an old billboard and bumper sticker that has a saying many Christians and non-Christians have criticized. Jesus is the answer. And the critic asks, well, what is the question? In his newness, we see that Jesus is the answer for every question in life that matters. He is the answer in every sorrow and pain, every longing and loss. He is the answer to hate and ridicule, to demeaning and demonizing. He is the answer to segregation, and he is the answer to separation. He is the answer to how we are seen by others, and he is the answer to how we see others. He is the answer for our hearts when we think of how we are treated by others, and he is the answer for our hearts and how we treat others. If you don't have that answer today, today is the day. The kingdom is now. And you can leave this place new. If you do have the answer today, but you have been living in the old, today is the day. The kingdom is now. And you can leave this place renewed. Seeing the kingdom, living the kingdom now. You may be thinking, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've thought. You don't know who I am. It doesn't matter what you have done or who you are. Who you think you are. Jesus came to wash you clean and make you new. You don't get new life because you deserve it. Because of who we are. Or because of what we have done. New life is about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. Saul was a persecutor and a killer of Christians. And in Christ he was made new. Saul was made Paul. And Paul was renewed into the greatest Christian evangelist the world has ever seen. And history is full of stories of those who were lost, those who were condemned, found, saved, and remade by Christ. His blood is sufficient to wash you and make you new. His blood is sufficient to renew you regardless. Romans 10 says, and this is our last passage, "For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life?" Did you hear that? God reconciles us to himself through Jesus' death in our place. Jesus' death on our behalf. God does this before we know him, while we were still his enemies. It's not because of you, my friend. It's not because you earned it in any way. It's because of his amazing love for you. None of us can ever deserve that kind of love. If you are waiting until the day, waiting to deserve that love, waiting to get your life right before you come to God, I have news for you. That day is never going to come. But through Christ, today is the day of salvation. The kingdom is now. But Christians, listen. Did you hear the rest of that amazing verse? How much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life? New and renewed. My stepfather, Frank, would always ask every person he met. I'll try to do a Frank imitation here. Are you saved? You know, sure, it would make people uncomfortable. I remember telling my mom and Frank about my fiance, about Dawn, this godly girl I fell in love with, and she was the girl I was going to marry, and she loved the Lord, and told them her whole testimony. And still, Frank, upon meeting her, even after I told him everything, first thing he says to Dawn, "So are you saved?" He wants to hear it from her mouth. It would definitely make people uncomfortable. Even on the ride in an emergency vehicle, if he's conscious, he's asked the EMTs before, "Are you saved?" The things that matter most always make us uncomfortable. And no question matters more. Paul urges us in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? And so, my friends, I must ask you the question today. Do you know this new life? Do you see? Are you experiencing the kingdom of God? Or am I describing something foreign to you this morning? Am I describing a rainbow to one who has never seen a rainbow? Our God desires that you see. Praise God, brothers and sisters, if you have been made new. But I ask each of us that are in Christ another question today. Are you being renewed? In just a moment, we're going to pray and then we'll dismiss. And as we pray and you hear the music begin to play, the altar is going to be open for you. So sound guys, if you could begin to play a number when I begin to pray, that'd be great. The Barnabas Ministry will be here to pray with you should you desire to pray with someone. Perhaps you've heard for the first time the Holy Spirit calling you into new life in Christ. God has paid the cost for your new life. Your new life has been bought by the blood of Jesus. The gift of God to you is Jesus. This new life is Jesus, and you can receive him today. You can do so at the altar. We would love to speak with you and share with you and pray with you about this new life in Christ. You can receive him in your pew. You can receive him as you drive home. What matters is that you do and that you tell someone. If you don't know Christ, he is calling you today to receive what he has done for you and to be made new. And I urge you, respond. Know this new life that is waiting for you. Perhaps you are born again. You have been made new, but God has revealed to you today an area of your life that you have not been allowing him to renew. In Summer Games 2013, our theme was a simple statement. Let the new man live. Brothers and sisters, perhaps there's an area in your life today where you simply need to let the new man live. The victory has already been won. The new life has already begun. It's time to let the new man live. The altar is open to you as well. When the music comes, come as God leaves. For those of you not called to come, I ask that you respond in one or two ways. Either stay and pray as the Lord leaves with someone who needs prayer, or simply leave quietly, keeping this place a place of prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this new life that you have bought for us, that you have paid for us. I thank you for this new life in you, that you desire to live in us. And Lord, I confess to you that in so many areas in my own life, I have and continue to live, to let the old man live. And I thank you that I don't need to do that anymore. That you have won the victory. I thank you that there is new life in Christ. And that we can live in that new life. Lord Jesus, I pray for each and every person here. That we might know this new life that you have died to give us. That we might know the victory that comes through your Spirit. That we might know the power of the resurrection alive in us. We love you, Lord. We ask that your will be done at this moment. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.